Hello, I'm Tara, and today we are discussing international business environment and some of the functional aspects that we've touched on from time to time, whether it's marketing, human resources, messaging, analysis, review, etc. So let's touch on some of the more important aspects, functional aspects, which are important for international businesses to succeed and which have been successfully adopted by companies operating globally. So, some of the objectives are to understand nuances of marketing, finance, human resources, messaging, etc., which need to be very seamlessly strategized, implemented, and monitored for any company or business to be able to succeed in a new geography, in a new market, and we'll be touching on some of these. Finance, as we had discussed in some of the earlier chapters, there are different ways of doing international accessing international finance when it comes to your trading. Also, from a finance point of view, it's not simply the method of receiving financing, but also how to adhere to accounting standards. For example, the financial year ending in India is 31st March of every year. Whereas for the US, the financial year ending is 31st of December. So when it comes to differences like this, accounting differences, regulatory differences, these functional aspects have to be aligned. They have to be adhered to for businesses to be successful in the international space and when operating across different geographies. Some of the elements of human resource management that we have touched on and which are important are ensuring that there is consistent message and communication of the visions, goals of people from top down to the junior most employee and associate. Now, very often, a lot of unrest and dissatisfaction happens in companies when they feel that they are not being treated as fairly in a company versus employees of the same company in another country. So, for example, we have had strikes in the working facility, the manufacturing facilities of several multinationals in India, where the labor have claimed that they are not getting overtime, whereas employees in the manufacturing facilities of the same companies internationally are getting overtime. Or, for example, one of the larger automobile companies, international multinational automobile companies that is headquartered in London, their India employees in their factories earn on an average about 25,000 rupees a year, whereas the same thing, same for similar kind of work in other parts of Asia, the workers are receiving a much higher pay. So when it comes to standardizing, messaging, etc., obviously you can no never have complete parity, but these are issues which have to be incorporated, addressed, and a company has to be prepared to respond to these issues as and when they come up. Now, in terms of international alignment, marketing function influencing your international business, there's a tie-up between Bajaj Auto and the Ulma Group, and they have set up a facility, joint facility in Colombia for production of certain kinds of motorcycles. So again, you see how two different entities from two different geographies are coming together and hopefully aligning their messaging and ensuring that the different people from entities from different geographies manage to work together with a common messaging and a common business vision and mission in mind. when international marketing is involved, then marketing principles of more than one country come into the picture. So when we talk about Apple, they have a philosophy where it is a global brand, but they have local application. So very interestingly, when you think of Apple and when you think of their product design or you think of their packaging, you think of white, gray, black. You don't really think of the color red, which is very uncharacteristic of Apple products or Apple packaging. But when it comes to China, then in China, the color red is considered auspicious and lucky. So when it comes to China, then Apple has actually incorporated red in some of their product designs and also in a lot of their packaging around their Chinese New Year. So this has accounted for, their marketing principles have tapped into the local culture and they have responded to that in a way that the Chinese population identifies, associates, has a sense of belonging when they look at the Apple products and the packaging. So this special attention paid to the specifics of one of their largest markets, not just markets, also one of their largest production hubs, clearly is a very well thought out strategy of their international marketing planning. International finance will take into account exchange rates, various other topics like International Monetary Fund, economic exchanges, etc. Now, keep in mind for exchange rates specific to India, when the rupee depreciates versus, say, the dollar, which is the largest reserve currency in the world, then export income goes up. But when the rupee appreciates versus the dollar, then the export income goes down because let's say an international trade is contracted in number of dollars. Then with depreciation for the same number of dollars, you'd get a higher number of rupees. And obviously, it is the reverse when it comes for imports. When the rupee depreciates, then you have to end up paying higher number of rupees per dollar. That is why when you see the rupee depreciating, you see news that export-oriented industries like pharmaceuticals, like IT, their shares are going up. And the reason for that is that their revenue is going to go up because of rupee depreciation. So exchange rates, foreign exchange rates, different time zones, different charters, rules of these agencies and banks, all of these things come into the picture. When it comes to human resources, then human resource management is very, very important. We have had instances where local labor have become extremely aggressive and they have had reasons to have that angst, of course, but they have become extremely aggressive and they have seen a very insensitive response to their needs. And there have been unfortunate instances where employees in the management have been bodily harmed or, even lynched. So human resource management, when you are trying to align a multinational with a regional country a workforce, then you have to be sensitive to ensuring that you are understanding the requirements, need, cultural practices, etc. of the local population, of the regional population. For example, in one of the, again, an automobile plant, and the reason I've been giving examples of automobile plants is that they generally have a very large workforce working at their manufacturing units. And recently at another manufacturing plant of an MNC, 60 employees were kicked out for certain indiscipline. And that led to a massive strike by all employees who insisted that these 60 employees who had been sacked should be reinstated. And that was something which the automobile entity was not used to confronting elsewhere, where a sacking was not disputed in this way by the entire workforce, but in this case that happened. In another instance, where in the state of Maharashtra, you had a situation where Hyundai bought out the unit of General Motors, and in Maharashtra, and the employees insisted that all the workers insisted that the employees of the entity which had been bought out should be absorbed in the new entity. So again, all of these issues, understanding of what is going to be required with the local workforces, all of these things have to be managed and properly handled. As far as marketing is concerned, there are certain elements in terms of messaging. When I was giving you the example of Apple, there are elements of you have pricing elements, which are where pricing has to be very well thought out. You have to have product innovation. You have to have adhering to the local requirements and customer preferences and tastes. Now, remember that several years ago, almost two decades ago, if not more, the international brand Pierre Cardin came to India. And when they came into India, Pierre Cardin, as we all aware, is a very, very prominent international fashion brand. But when they came to India, they were rejected very heavily. Reason for that is that their designs which came to India were very outdated. It almost looked like they were, few seasons old, and they had got all their rejects and leftovers from other parts of the world and put them in stores here, and probably were hoping that the Indian consumer is just going to go and purchase the Pierre Cardin designs because of the brand association and just because they had that name. And they were very unattractive designs, quite frankly, priced quite steeply. And it was heavily, those few stores which opened in India were heavily rejected by the Indian population, because the Indian population is aware of what is there globally, and they are not going to throw their, they are willing to buy expensive materials, they are willing to buy branded items. We love branded items, but branded items where we know that we are being short cheated because we have got the last season's rejects or, you know, the leftovers, we are not willing to do that. We are more aware than that. So when it comes to international marketing, all these elements in terms of pricing, designing, messaging, all of these things have to be taken into account, and you should give an optimal offering to the consumer in each region. So hence, it is important to understand the local requirement. Now, in the case of certain MNCs like Coca-Cola, so Coke is very, very popular in India. And at the same time, there are times when there have been allegations that their bottling plants have polluted certain rivers of the country, in certain parts, northern parts of the country. There have been allegations of, malpractices. So for companies like Coca-Cola, they have undertaken projects. They have made it their business to undertake CSR projects in various parts of the world, where that helps their image. So while that is not direct marketing by selling your product, that is not direct marketing by making prices changes, your brand is still involved. Your brand is doing that work, and by that you are hoping to capitalize on the goodwill of the goodwill that those initiatives and endeavors generate for your brand. For example, Coca-Cola has a schooling initiative in India. There is a schooling initiative in India. In Egypt, they have in a certain region, they have set up 650 taps, water taps. So all of these activities are done with the intention of eventually tapping into, yes, while you are leading to an upliftment of the local regional population, while you are improving their lifestyle, eventually, at the end of the day, one is hoping that this will lead to an improvement in their image, a creation of goodwill, and hence eventual benefit to them as a brand in terms of leading to higher purchases. Now, likewise, there's a very, very large campaign of Procter & Gamble in India called P&G Shiksha. Now, P&G Shiksha has made immense inroads and has taken immense initiatives as far as literacy challenges and education-related challenges are concerned for a large segment of children across the country. And they have these initiatives are years and decades old, and a huge number of children and their families have benefited from these initiatives. So are these initiatives selling any product? No. Are these initiatives doing something very good, which is helping the community and the society? Yes. But of course, awareness of these campaigns is going to lead to goodwill being generated for Procter & Gamble. And somewhere down the line, a customer may make a decision that they will support a brand that is involved in contributing to its community and society versus only being interested in generating profits. So when we're talking about marketing, when we're talking about all these elements, a lot of them are direct, a lot of them are indirect, and all of these aspects have to be taken into account when dealing with an aspect of international marketing. When it comes to products, products have to be sensitive to the local requirement. We've already spoken about McDonald's product offering in India. When we are talking about packaging, we saw how Apple worked on its packaging and made sure that the color red was incorporated in China. So we have to, the products need to adhere to and cater to what the local requirements are. One has to be ready to respond to risk factors in those regions. One has to be ready to deal with distribution networks, delivery networks. All of these things have to be responded to, keeping in mind the local geographies. Other problems in the international context could be understanding laws, consumer protection, analytical skills, taxation, etc. Now, when we were talking about China in an earlier chapter, then there were times when it was difficult for international companies to come into China and understand the local regulatory requirement and also adhere to them, even if they understood, actually deliver on those requirements. For example, certain sites where it is required that the government requires that people hold up their government provided IDs so that, you know, the verification can be done. Now, a lot of the international companies were not in a position to respond to this. So hence, automatically, it becomes difficult for them to cater to this and ensure that they are being able to comply. Likewise, in various parts of the world, including in India, compliance with the local laws becomes a challenge when outside entities are coming in to operate. Then they have to make sure that they are either tying up, either they are getting legal help, or they are tying up with local entities who can help them be compliant. The obvious benefits of international markets are international marketing is revenue generation, expansion of new markets, because existing markets saturate and there's only so much additional revenue you can generate from them. So survival of a company, survival of a country's economy, all of these things are linked to good strategies, healthy strategies when it comes to international marketing. Some of the other benefits of international markets are that you have economies where quality of life is improved for the local population. And the growth rate is much faster. Case in point, again, when you look at the tiger economies or tiger cub economies or even India for that matter, then higher quality products result, products being made available to people leads to betterment in their life, improvement in their purchasing power, and in general, their access to the global products, services, and their quality of life improving a lot more. Now, the four essential P's of marketing are product, price, place, and promotion. Now, product, as we discussed, you have to modify, evolve, innovate your product so that you are catering to the requirement of the local population. So another brand which has globally been very successful is the Domino's brand. Now, come to think of it, it's a very simple, pizza. But the way that pizza offering world over has catered to the local requirements, the cultural preferences, tastes, etc. of the local consumers, we have seen how successful it is across the world. Now, when it comes to geographies, where to launch, which parts of the, which regions to focus on, etc., all of these become important. For promotion, we have been speaking about a mix of promotional activities, different messaging, direct or indirect, which will give the best message to people. So, for example, when you think of international brands like Nike, their messaging, just do it, is something which is very, very global and something which has resonated globally with across brands, across countries and across audiences. Now, coming to pricing, which becomes a lot more tricky in terms of understanding what will work, evolving, customizing, catering to a changing population in different geographies. So there are different strategies which are part of pricing, and we will touch on some of them. So before we come to the pricing, when it comes to products, standardization is very important. For example, there have been times, especially when it comes to apparels, that we have seen that there have been claims that when you go into the store of an international brand, then the clothes that you see out there do not look like they are finished qualitatively, or the materials are qualitatively the same as what you get in their stores internationally. And this can really hurt a brand, because Indian consumers are not fools. So standardization of products is very important. When it comes to finished goods, electronics goods, watches, etc., of course, extra important. People are spending so much time now. When I was talking about the iPhone 16 launch 1 or 2 days ago, any consumer, whether they are buying from an Apple store in India, in BKC, or they are buying at an Apple store in California, in the US, would expect an identical product, and qualitatively, quantitatively, in every aspect. Now, semi-standardized product offerings obviously will have variations. For example, when it comes to cars, then in different countries, you have different rules in terms of left side driving, right side driving, etc. Automatic cars versus manual cars. So a lot of these would have to be semi-standardized and customized to what the local requirements and laws and preferences are. Coming to pricing, there are different kinds of pricing, different kinds of strategies. One is the standard pricing, which is the same price, which is pretty much charged everywhere for the products and services. And it is not correlated to where the product is being offered, regardless of what part of the world, what region it is being offered in. It's the same pricing. Then you have premium pricing, where the luxury aspect is bringing in a massive premium to the pricing. So the price to the consumer is far more than the competitor's price because of the luxury aspect. So especially when we talk about a product like watches. In watches, when you buy an HMT watch, it may be as effective and as reliable as a Rolex or as a Tag watch, but or as an Omega watch, but the premium aspect of these watches makes people, you know, compelled to be willing to spend lakhs and lakhs of more, lakhs and lakhs rupees more for these luxury brands. So when it comes to these luxury items, then it is not simply a matter of functionality. It is not simply a matter of, just the look. There is something unique in these, because of which the brands are being able to command this premium pricing. When it comes to designer clothes, when you buy a Versace versus you buy, from a Reliance retail, it may very well be the same material, but just the brand and the designer element of it, the luxury brand image, you are going to pay a very, very different price and be willing to pay a premium for the Versace jeans versus, a local manufacturer that you might buy from. And the pride of claiming that you have that, and, the world being able to see that you have this designer brand. Or when it comes to shoes, you may have locally manufactured sneakers, but having, Nike Air or a limited edition version of one of these brands, these are brands which luxury items that you would very happily pay a higher premium for.